At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
Good evening and welcome. Nice to have your company again today. If you're fed up of listening to me, this is the last Monday that you will have me twice in the one day. I was on earlier for Giles between 10 and 12. And here we are for the Irish programme, My Natural Habitat, live on air between now and 7 o'clock. Thank you for tuning our way. I do have a nice programme lined up for you. It's an action-packed programme as well. I have some Irish birthdays. I will be looking as well with George at some of the stories that made headlines in Ireland over the past 7 days. We will be talking about yesterday's fantastic All-Ireland hurling final between Kilkenny and Tipperary. That'll be coming up before the end of the programme. And I will be talking to Katie Teasby. And Katie's got an album on the way very shortly. And you'll hear how she sounds. And you will also hear a little bit about her life and her music. So let's have a look at some of those famous birthdays. As I said, there's very few this week. And three of the four that I have are actually sporting ones. Tomorrow, Tuesday, the 20th of August, Mihála Murda Hertig will be celebrating his birthday. Mihála Murda Hertig is one of Ireland's most famous gentlemen. He's been involved in sport all his life, but he's a radio and television commentator. And he was born in Dingle in County Kerry in 1930. He's 89 years of age. Absolutely fantastic and still going strong. Kevin Heffernan was a player and also the manager of the Dublin football team. I'm talking about Irish football now, Gaelic football. He was born in 1927. He passed away in 2013, but he brought huge success to Dublin back in the 70s and the early 80s. Heffo's Army, they used to be called. Anyway, Kevin Heffernan's birthday would have been tomorrow. Thursday is the 22nd of August, and Jimmy Barry Murphy, a well-known and very famous and very able hurler as well, born in Cork in 1954. And next Sunday is the 25th of August. Sean T. O'Kelly, or Sean T. O'Kellig, as he's often known, that Kelly would be the English version of O'Kellig. But he was the second president of Ireland. He was born on the 25th of August in 1882. He served as president between 1945 and 1959, and he held various ministerial roles as well. So there we go. There are no musical birthdays in there, but I did make a promise when I was filling in for Giles last Monday. I'm almost certain it was Monday. I made a promise to a gentleman whose name escapes me that I would play this song if I remembered. And lo and behold, I'm actually remembering. It's a song that's called The Green Fields of France, and it's sung by the Furies, or Davy Arthur and the Fury Brothers, as we used to say way back when. Take a listen to this, and that's another promise done and dusted. The Green Fields of France.
Well, how do you do? Young Willie McBride, do you mind if I sit here down by your graveside and rest for a while? Need the warm summer sun I've been walking all day and I'm nearly done. I see by your gravestone you are only 19 when you joined the Great Fallen in 1916. I hope you died well and I hope you died clean. Our young Willie McBride, who was it slow and obscene? Did he beat the drum slowly? Did he play the fife slowly? Did they sound the death march as they lowered you down? And did the band play the last post and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? Did you leave it a wife or a sweetheart behind? In some faithful heart is your memory enshrined? Although you died back in 1916, in that faithful heart are you forever 19? Or are you a stranger without even a name, enclosed and forever behind the glass frame? In an old photograph, torn, battered and stained, and faded to yellow in the brown leather frame. Did he beat the drum slowly? Did he play the fife slowly? Did I sound the death march as they lowered you down? Did the band play the last post and chorus? And did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? The sun, now it shines on the green fields of France. There's a warm summer breeze that makes the red poppies dance. And look how the sun shines from under the clouds. There's no gas, no barbed wire, there's no gun firing now. But here in this graveyard, it's still no man's land. The countless white crosses stand mute in the sand. To man's blind indifference to his fellow man, to a whole generation that were butchered and damned. Did he beat the drum slowly? Did he play the fife slowly? Did they sound the death march as they lowered you down? And did the band play the last post and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the fall? Ah, young Willie, my bride, I can't help wondering why. Do those that lie here know why did they die? And did they believe when they answered the call? Did they really believe that this war would end war? Well, the sorrow, the suffering, the glory, the pain, the killing and dying were all done in vain. For young Willie McBride, it all happened again and again and again and again and again. Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the fife slowly? Did they sound the death march as they lowered you down? Did the band play the last post and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? Did they beat
The drums slowly did play, the fife slowly did I sound the death march as it lowered you down. Did the band play the last bass and chorus? And did the pipes play the flowers of the fall?
Beautiful song, isn't it? A little bit on the long side, but it's well worth it. That is the Fury Brothers and Davy Arthur in there, and the Green Fields of France for that gentleman that was looking for it last week. So now, let's do a very quick break. Come back to me just after that. I will be talking to George Lee about some of the stories that made headlines last week in Ireland. It's the G2 Summit with the two Gs.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net. Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
It's that time of the week again, the G2 Summit, the two Gs. George Lee joins me as per usual. George, good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm not doing too badly at all, George. Listen, the rain is kind of coming in horizontal, but it's nice horizontal.
And here the sweat is coming horizontal. We have two seasons covered anyway between the two of us. Anyway, a good week behind you, I hope.
Wonderful week, yes. Yeah,
magic. Yeah. Well, George, let's start. And unfortunately, some people who didn't have a wonderful week would be the family of the late Nora Curran. And the nightmare continues for the Curran family following the discovery of Nora's body in Malaysia. And as the days progress, the list of questions surrounding the case appear to be getting longer. There appears to have been a number of commentaries in the media, which prompted the Curran family to, on Saturday morning, say, lads, will you stop? And just, can we just take a breath here and just see where we are? It's just tragedy after tragedy.
It is, Gerard, and I suppose, look, you've been around the PR game in the same way I have for a while, and I suppose one of the things that you would always say to anybody that winds up in a situation is that if there's a vacuum, something will rush in to fill it. Mm. And I think that's what's happened here, is that in the absence of firm detail, people have been making up things as they go along, and that's always hurtful to a family that are close to any tragedy. There's a 15-year-old girl with special needs dead. There's a family that are grieving. They have a lot of questions. I'm sure the Malaysian authorities try to do their best in all of this. People within Malaysia have also helped out and have acquitted themselves well. The grieving process has started for the Curran family. They need space to do that in. I think things have been handled. Where the truth lies, who knows? The only blessing in all of this is that ultimately they found a body, I suppose, and that they will have a place to grieve, yeah, if that's any consolation.
But having said that, it was Nora's grandfather that came out and said, there are still a lot of issues here and there are some black areas. And that actually fueled a lot of it, didn't it?
It did. And look, red tops will always pick up on any sort of conspiracy theory, you know that. Look, the truth will out here in the end, and I have no doubt about that. Look, the family just need to be given space.
Hopefully. And let's hope Nora rests in peace. Now, George, the rest of the stories, I suppose, pale into insignificance, really. But thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people are worried that they won't be able to go on their holidays or to go and see their loved ones over the next wee while, because the Ryanair strike that is planned for Thursday and Friday is certainly causing some concern. Now, I know that there has been an injunction sought. As we are recording this, we don't have a decision on that. So as of now, Thursday's and Friday's strike appears to be going ahead.
Yeah, and even when you hear the term injunction been sought, it doesn't play terribly well, you know, into the fact that there's any sort of a coming together in mindsets or anything like that. The PR battle, again, if we can go back to the PR battle, has started. Ryanair saying they're looking for double their amount of money and that's an unreasonable situation. Strikes like this and industrial disputes like this never get solved in the media. Again, they need to be done quietly. They need to be done behind the scenes. You know, sometimes the strike has to happen. That will completely discommode people, though. Speaking to a friend of mine last night, he was to go on holidays next Thursday, hasn't had a holiday in a number of years, and he said the one bloody day I pick.
Maybe he's just not meant to go on holidays, George.
Well, that's it as well, but that's not the way he's looking at it at the moment, I can tell you. I suppose Ryanair are getting to that stage now. They're no longer the new kids in the block. They're no longer the great disruptors. Mm-hmm. They've accepted union recognition. The other side of this, Ger, is that Ryanair have also announced the closure of a number of bases over the next while. They've been caught in this 737 yes. max problem. None of this plays well for corporate Ryanair, I suppose, over a long period of time. But it also doesn't play well for a lot of the smaller airports that are depending on Ryanair. And I know in talking to people from Shannon Airport, even, it's not even the amount of money that it brings in. It's the volume of passengers that it brings through, mm-hmm. the additional stuff that they do, like buying a bottle of water or getting something in mm-hmm. what, you know, in the shops,
or the
car parks or whatever, and that's the additionality.
The Toblerone and the duty free,
and that's quite honestly it. You know, a lot of small airports depend on that now. So Ryanair are very much a part of the airport model right across Europe.
Staying with that story, or the aviation story, and the Max 737, or the 737 Max, we saw this week that had another casualty with Norwegian Air deciding to pull all of their flights out of Dublin, Cork, and Shannon. Because they haven't taken delivery of. That has been hurting Shannon, but it's going to hurt it more in the future.
Yeah, it absolutely has. And I know the people are becoming very concerned in Shannon. I was there last week looking at the arrivals and departures board. You know, it's very sparse out there, and an airport can't continue on that basis. That said, the good news story, of course, in Shannon during the week, the airport was closed for an hour or two on Thursday morning. The Shannon Airport emergency services dealt with the problem that they had, which was a fire in the undercarriage of an Omni Air, which was about to take off. Mm. And I thought they dealt with it superbly. Shannon really needs volume. And dare I say, maybe it needs a little bit of additional marketing and a bit of push, even from a national point of view.
Laws to allow for the right to disconnect, which gives workers the legal standing to avoid work emails outside of working hours, will be considered by government, according to Business Minister Heather Humphreys. This is an important thing, isn't it?
Well, it is, Ger, but I think it's a very public sector thing. People in the private sector don't really have the luxury of being able to switch off from their emails and their work outside of the 9 to 5 hours in the same way that public sector people might.
Well, the owners mightn't have, but maybe the staff could.
Yeah, but if something happens outside of hours, you need to be able to deal with them as well. And that's the nature of working, or maybe it's the nature of the way that I work. But this initiative was introduced in France in 2017, and it mandates companies with more than 50 employees to develop a charter defining employees' rights. Now, why 50 has been put on it, I don't know. I work in a company that's a lot less than 50. Mm. It gives them the right to switch off and set out hours when staff are not supposed to send or answer emails. It was prompted by a blurring of the boundary between work and private life. Bernard Durkin, who's the Fine Gael person involved, he said if consideration would be given to introducing guidelines regarding the right to disconnect in Ireland, and he said that they'd examine it. Isn't that a great way of putting it?
It is, yeah, exactly.
Especially when there's an election coming up, we'll have a look at that for you, lads.
Right. The Department of Employment Affairs and Social Protection has retained data from every person who has been issued with a public services card, including their utility bills and financial statements. To date, 3.2 million public service cards have been issued in Ireland. And Data Protection Commissioner Helen Dixon spoke during the week to the journal.ie, and she said that she was unaware of any parallel across state bodies where such a large volume of data on Irish citizens is retained indefinitely. This is what was meant to be a national identity card, George, isn't it?
That's correct, Ger. Look, I've had misgivings about this since the very, very start. Where my misgivings started was when, not I, but actually my wife was summoned to the local office to have her card issued to her. She was issued with this card, and then she went off. She was asked for proof of identity somewhere on setting up a bill or whatever it was. Oh, we can't take that card. That's not acceptable for that. And we can't use that for this. And at this point, I'm kind of saying, well, why do we have this thing, you know? Now it appears that the proof of identity that they looked for and photocopied from you just to figure out who you actually were, that they've retained all of this on file. Mm-hmm. There's no lawful basis for state bodies other than social protection for making the card mandatory to access any of the services. The department's communication with the public about the card was completely inadequate, and that's what the probe has found out. There must be a whole building up in Dublin somewhere that's holding on to all of these bills, you know, after it's verified who the person is through a safe process and issued this the card. It's Big Brother been taken to a level. It's like as if, again, somebody came up with a great idea. There was no follow through. And even the state, who are the ones that are supposed to be looking after all our data protection and who'll go off and tell Facebook and everybody else what they can and can't do in terms of data, have gone away and breached all of that themselves.
Mm. It was meant to be a national identity card. I don't care what anybody says. So I'm glad that they're drawing a halt to it. And I have one. So I'm glad that my financial statements will be, because I'd be embarrassed. It's only to save embarrassment, George, if anyone ever saw it. Anyway, now, on a, I suppose a good note, really, because it probably was good for most people. Thousands of young people across Ireland got their Leaving Cert results on Wednesday last. So they're all heading off to college and into the workforce, and they're full of the joys of life. But the creators, they have difficulty finding accommodation. They've got difficulty with transportation. They've got difficulties with funding. They've got difficulties with all sorts of things. So while it's great, it's a tough old time for them, isn't it?
It's the threshold again, isn't it? It's one of these life's great thresholds. And looking back on it now, from our own perspective, you know, with the benefit of kind of what is 136 years, is it, since we left CBS?
Well, it's 35, I think, since I left. 84, yeah. I left. So that's 35 years. Yeah.
Yeah. And you did well in maths as well, by all accounts. But it is a rite of passage. There's an awful lot of people got their Leaving Cert results and will be disappointed. There's an awful lot of people got them, will be delighted. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I've always said is that this doesn't define you. It points on a trajectory. What's inside in yourself is actually what defines you. This is an opportunity, but it's a very challenging time. It's a challenging time for the children. It's also a challenging time for the parents that have been supporting them and that have been looking, you know, after them, and who are now on the cusp of another major milestone within their children's lives.
Indeed, and we wish them all well. George Lee, let's leave it at that before we fall out. Thank you very much for joining me as per usual.
May I say, just before you go,
you may.
Got a great reaction last week to the Danny Doyle song that you played.
Did you?
People were talking to me during the week about it.
Oh, lovely.
We're very taken up by it.
Ah, lovely. I'm thrilled. Okay, George, listen, have a good week. Thanks for joining us. And the G2 Summit back again next week.
God bless you.
And with that, I'll take a very quick commercial break. Come back to me just after that. Or better still, don't go anywhere. Wait right where you are, because after the break, I've got something very special for you.
Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net. Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
I remember you singing this song. I remember how you blushed when you smiled. Love has a way of never letting go. See the teardrops, they're filling my eyes. I remember when Father would sing this old song. He would tease you to sing along. He would sing out of key, just as happy as can be. I wonder if he's teasing you now. I remember the day my mother passed on. My father had gone just a while. I sat in the church and I listened. From a distance, I heard this old song. I wonder if he's teasing you now, Ma. I wonder if he's holding your hand. Love has a way of never letting. Together somehow. wonder if he's holding your hand. Love has a way of never letting go. Sure, I know you're together somehow. Sure, I know you're together somehow.
There you go. I did tell you that I had something special for you just after the commercial break. And that's a song that's called I Remember You Singing This Song. It was written by Finbar Fury and it was sung there by a lady by the name of Katie Teasby. And Katie joins me on the phone right now. Katie, good evening and thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Ger. How are you?
I'm in top form, I'm glad to say. And how are things back in Ireland?
Not too bad today, nice and sunny. And yeah, things are going well.
You take it as you get it, don't you, when you're in Ireland?
Absolutely, yeah, that's for sure.
Katie, that's a gorgeous song that we just heard, written by Finbar Fury. How did you come by it and how did you come to record it?
Well, Finbar would be a great friend of mine. He's been very supportive over the last few years. And yeah, I fell in love with this song. He sang it to me years ago in O'Connor's in Doolin. And I suppose I nagged him time and time again, you know, will you give me the words to that song or when you want to record that song and all the rest of it. And eventually he just said, you know what? He said, you can record it. You can record it.
Right.
And then the guy that's producing and recording the album for me, Peter Reeds, is also in Finbar's band, and he said, I'd love to produce a track on your album.
Great.
Which one will we do? And I said, well, sure, might as well do I Remember You Singing, because that's the connection between us and Finbar. So
right.
It was just a nice kind of, a nice touch to be doing that together.
That's lovely. And what album is that on?
It's on my debut album, and it's the title track. It's I Remember You Singing a Song.
That's lovely.
The name of the album.
And, Katie, the name Teasby, I'm not familiar with it, and I don't think I'd heard it until I heard of Katie Teasby. Where does it come from?
Paul Teasby was my father's name, and he was a fiddle player.
Right.
And he hails from Hull in Yorkshire.
All right.
And I've always been told that it's we're of Viking descent from Denmark, I think. The BY is
right.
At the end is generally Viking.
So. I see. Okay.
There you go. I'm a bit of a Viking.
That's probably Vikings in most of us in Ireland, I would imagine, at this stage. And
absolutely.
Your dad is from England, so where were you born?
I was actually born in London.
And Christy Hennessy was once asked what brought him to Ireland, what brought him to England, and he said the boat. So I'm going to ask you what brought you to Ireland, and don't say the boat.
I came on the plane. Actually.
On the plane.
I suppose my dad was mad into the music, and he moved over and remarried. We moved over when I was small, so I spent my summer holidays coming over back and forth.
Great.
And my mother always loved the place anyway, so she also holidayed over here.
Okay.
And eventually she said, right, when you're finished with school, and we'll move to Clare. So we did, you know, and best thing we ever did, I think.
Lovely. Now, there's music in the family, obviously, because you said your dad was a fiddler. Was your mum into music?
I'd say I got a lot of my singing from my mother. She's a great singer.
Right.
Don't hear her much anymore singing, but there was always singing in the house. There was always, you know, if we're going anywhere in the car, she'd be putting Joni Mitchell on, or she'd be putting, you know, loads of different stuff. I could grow up, she'd give me, you know, a vast kind of, a vast well of music to pick from.
A repertoire.
A great taste in it herself. So, yeah, exactly. Mm. That's the word I was looking for.
Glad I could help you out today. Glad.
Yeah, no, I can waffle.
Fair play to you. And so when did you kind of look at singing as being something that you could do and enjoy and maybe earn a couple of bob out of as well?
Jeepers, I suppose I played the whistle all my life, I suppose, first off. The singing, I would have sang a couple of songs in a pub in Camden called The Stag's Head when I was my early teens.
Right.
And just kind of went from there. I was mostly a trad musician, but who used to sing the odd song.
Mm-hmm.
And PJ Curtis said to me when I was about 20 that I should record and make an album.
Yeah.
And of course, I don't think I was in a good place at the time. I didn't really believe in myself and the confidence was fairly low. So that didn't happen for a few years. And now I'm, 42. I'm releasing my debut album. But I think all things kind of happen for a reason, and they all kind of, everything was, the right things were happening at the right time. you know.
PJ's name is a name that would have been mentioned on many occasions on Live on Era, and PJ, I've met him a few times recently, but he's still reluctant to put the microphone under his chin because he's a shy type of person, even though he was a broadcaster himself. But he's a superb music producer, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He sure is.
He just has an ear.
He has an ear, and he knows his stuff, and he's just.
And I've learned.
Very supportive as well.
So you spent a couple of years then kind of just dibbling and dabbling, did you? When did you get serious with it?
I've been playing like in sessions and singing for years. I mean, absolutely years. And I suppose the album, it's been kind of been threatening to do a CD. Do you know the way it's like you feel like there's something unfinished almost in your life? It's almost like it's not for gigs, it's not for money, there's something in there.
Right.
Like some people think that you have a book in you, you know, or you have a CD in you, whatever.
Yeah.
And my plan was to do it more locally and have different people backing me on different albums. And then I was finding that certain people didn't want to go, they wanted to do it in their own homes. And it was starting to get a bit confusing. So I just said, right, I ended up doing the album with Peter, all of it.
Right.
Just for consistency. But I suppose, started it serious. Like, I'm not a professional musician. Per se, do you know what I mean?
Go away, Ardeth.
I do the odd gig here and there, and I'm not, it's not my full-time job.
Right.
I'm a single mother, I have a little girl, and I kind of have to, you know, I have to work around that, and she comes first, and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to getting this out there. You're getting back to normal again.
And who do you like playing with? Would you have people that you would particularly enjoy being on stage with or in studio with?
Well, I did the Doolin Folk Festival last year on the main stage, if you don't mind. Pure delighted. And I was delighted to have Mike Hanrahan of Stockton's Wing on stage with me, and also Ger O'Donnell. They're both fantastic guitarists and singers, and they made it so easy. And it was a great set. It was a great gig. I play quite a bit with Davey Harper as well, and loads of musicians.
Okay.
The variety is the spice of life, you know.
Variety is the spice of life. Flack Yolda Heron, have you been involved in that in any of the venues?
Not this year, but last year before the Flack, I was invited up by Dara Healy to
Drogheda, wasn't it?
Music at the Gate in Drogheda, yeah. And they've closed this gate, stopped traffic going through because it's like a medieval building. And they have music there on a regular occasion on a Saturday. And it's just fantastic. It's opened everything up for young people where there wouldn't have been a lot of trad around Drogheda, for example. And there's loads of people learning it now. And that was even before the Flack started. It was almost like getting people, you know,
psyched
people
up.
Were ready for it when it came, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's really, really good. There's lots of good stuff happening around the country with flags and all, you know, it's brilliant.
Mm, mm. What do you want to do in the future? I know you have your daughter to rear, but would you like to do new CDs? Would you like to do more live gigs? What's your ambition?
Yeah, I'd like to kind of go on tour at some stage. I'd like to do a bit of travelling with it if I could. But you know, for now I'm happy kind of I want to see where this goes.
Right.
We plan to launch it in a couple of places and to do kind of a mini tour,
mm-hmm.
you know, around maybe Clare and Galway or something like that, and just see how it's received.
Excellent. All right. I know that you've got a lot of stuff on YouTube, so if somebody wants to look at you there, it's Katie, Theasby, isn't it? Katie Teasby.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, and I have a Facebook page as well, Katie Teasby, singer-musician.
Okay. And are you flogging the CD online?
I will be. Wait until I have it in my fist, and then I'll have to see where we're going with it. I have no guidance on this. I'm kind of winging it, to be honest with you.
That's all right. And come here, how many tracks are on that CD?
10, mostly kind of folk songs. I suppose you could, if you were to put the CD in a box, it would be a kind of contemporary folk almost.
Okay.
I have a couple of guest musicians with me on it on... On Lullaby, I have Tommy Keane, the great piper.
Aye.
And I also have recorded a duet with Finbar Fury.
Oh, lovely.
So I'm so happy with it. It's really beautiful. The two voices together are lovely, you know.
Good.
Velvet and gravel.
Excellent.
I don't know if I'd be described as velvet now, but...
So we'll direct people towards your YouTube page and your Facebook page. And if they want to buy the CD, let them just keep an eye on those. Now, Katie, we're going to play Lullaby because you mentioned that there just a few minutes ago. Will you tell me about Lullaby?
I actually hadn't heard it before, believe it or not. And Peter played me, sent me a YouTube link to an actor singing it.
Right.
And it just stopped me in my tracks.
Right.
Like, it made me cry. I was like, this is absolutely beautiful.
Hmm.
And rang him up and we said, yeah, we'd definitely record that. It was a gorgeous song with the pipes. Just lifted the whole thing and brought it somewhere else.
Great.
And of course, I played it to my mother for the first time, and sure, she bawled crying. I said, right, yeah, we're on to a winner here. So, you know, it's actually a Billy Joel song. So I'm delighted with that.
Great.
I suppose it's a cover. There's a couple of inverted commas covers on it, you know.
Yeah.
But most of them are kind of contemporary folk. Like.
Do you write music or do you write songs?
Oh, do you know what? I've dabbled here and there. I've kind of written a couple of half tunes here and there. And, I've as far as songs goes, I get kind of lyrics in my head and I'll sing them into the phone or I'll write them down, you know, but I haven't actually sat and written a whole song yet. Someone kind of said, you know, why would you think of writing songs? And I was like, there's so many songs out there that, so many songs out there that either could be brought back again, like the song Molly O that's on the album. That
yeah.
is a song written by Shea Healy, and he wrote it in the early 70s, I think. And that was on an album that my dad was a member of, his band in Dingle Spike in London.
Really?
He was a fiddle player.
Lovely.
Yeah, so I grew up listening to this album, and Molly O was on it, and I always loved it. And so we're kind of bringing that back again into the kind of folk arena again, you know. Maybe that's me just talking myself out.
Talking yourself out of it, maybe so, yeah.
You know, maybe one day, maybe it's time, you know, maybe that's the next project.
Yeah, you know, as you'll discover as the years go on and you get more time in your hands and you start to see the world in a different light, in a different place, it could all happen for you. Not that it has to happen, if it's going to, it might.
Yeah. I thought, I'll try. I mean, maybe all the things will come together again, all the planets will align and I'll start writing, writing songs. But.
For the moment, all you need to do is enjoy what you're doing. That's the important thing. And anything else that comes
Absolutely.
After that allows you to develop it is a bonus. Katie, the name of the album is I Remember You Singing This Song. It was written by Finbar Fury. We heard it a few minutes ago. I'm sure we'll give it another spin another evening. When do you expect to have the album in your hands?
Getting mastered at the moment.
Oh, great. Okay.
So it
won't be long.
Hoping, well, 3 weeks I'd say should swing it.
Lovely, all right.
Mid-September.
Well, look, yeah. I wish you well with it, and if there's anything we can do on the programme to help you, please do let me know. We'd be more than happy to do so, and we're going to play out with a track called Lullaby that you explained a little bit about to us. Katie Teasby, thank you very much for joining us, and continued success in your singing career.
Thanks a million, Ger.
Good night, my angel, time to close your eyes. And save these questions for another day. I think I know what you've been asking me. I think you know what I've been trying to say. I promised I would never leave you. And you should always know, wherever you may go, no matter where you are, I never will be far away. Good night, my angel, now it's time. And still so many things I want to say. Remember all the songs you sang for me when we went sailing on an emerald bay. And like a boat out inside this ancient heart, you'll always be a part of me. dream how wonderful our life has been. Someday we all must go, but lullabies go on and on. They never die, just like you and I will be.
Ger Sweeney presents Live on Era in association with EmeraldConnection.net. Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
Welcome back to the programme. I did say that we were going to have something from the All-Ireland final yesterday, Kilkenny and Tipperary, not for the first time, doing battle in Croke Park. Joining me on the line right now, and by the way, this is a pre-recorded interview that I did just after 1 o'clock this afternoon. My son Ben is the producer of a programme on Tip FM, the main morning chat show, which is called Tip Today, and he joins me on the phone. Ben, good to talk to you as always. How are you?
Yeah, hello Ger, how are you?
I'm in great form. Can we rewind the tape a little bit? Because I did talk on the programme last week to Derek Lynch, and we spoke a little bit about what exactly the All-Ireland meant to people. So will you talk to me about the build-up in Tipperary for this great clash of the Titans yesterday?
Oh, it's been savage. The route to the All-Ireland is, I presume you went through it with Derek last week, but it's a championship. So there was losses along the way. They lost a provincial decider and there was heartbreak. And then they were saying they're not up to it. And then they get to this semi-final. It looked like it wasn't going to go their way and they pulled it out of the bag at the very end. So they were there was a sense of shock, really, that they'd managed to get to the final after all that they'd been through. But such a build-up. And I mean, Kilkenny and Tipperary is probably the biggest rivalry in hurling. This is the 21st time they were meeting in an All-Ireland final. They've had countless games, hundreds and hundreds of games between them in different formats, and their neighbouring counties. So the build-up was just savage, particularly along the eastern coast, or a part of the county where it might border with Kilkenny. But certainly there's been a huge push from the local media, from people trying to get supporters out, from different GAA clubs, trying to get the blue and gold, the colours of Tipperary, up and around, bunting, flags, anything you could do. There was farmers in parts of Tipperary had blue and gold wraps for their silage. I mean, they were going all out here in the county. It was just surreal.
While the rest of us were talking about Brexit and we were talking about tankers being kept in Gibraltar and all sorts of things like that, there was no mention of anything like that, I would imagine, across Tipperary last week in the advance in the run up to this.
Not a word. And I mean, the show that I produce is a talk show. It's a current affairs show, but news just went out the window last week. People want to hear nothing else. Tipperary is the home of hurling.
How did the players manage to stay sane and grounded in a week like that? Because everybody must want a slice of them and see them on the street. And that's the beauty of the amateur game, is that people see them on the street, they work with them, they're you know, buying their newspapers off them, or they're, you know, whatever. So how do they stay sane?
Well, that's the thing. It's so hard to guard them. You know, with soccer or the likes, they're behind closed doors, they're minded. But these are amateurs. They don't get paid for what they're doing, but yet they're stars. They can't walk into a shop without getting some sort of recognition, or, you know, everyone knows where you live, everyone knows where you work. Just relentless. They have everyone on Facebook, so they've been commenting on the whole time. There are people posting on the wall, they've been messaged, the phone's going nonstop. But the players that I've been speaking to, they just take it in their stride. Do you know, they know the people who are contacting them anyway. So it's Noel down the road, or Mary from, you know, Barsley is ringing them, so they can say, sure, look, I know that. And they have the right, they know them well enough to say, look, do you know, it's a bad time to be talking to me, but come back to me next week and I'll talk to you all you want. But it's what I found most bizarre was that the stress that you would think they'd be under, that an entire county behind you and everyone all week, or, well, you know, for all season, really talking about you and any puck of the ball that you might make wrong, you know, you could be the cause of your county not winning the All-Ireland. that must be playing on your mind. But the ones that I've been speaking to, either present or former, they say it really doesn't impact. You know, they get rid of that. They have a way of managing the mental build-up to it, that they just park it. It's just another game.
What was the atmosphere in Dublin like yesterday before the game, where you would have been in contact with Tipperary fans and you would have been in contact with Kilkenny fans and neutrals?
There was a lot more Kilkenny fans there initially. We were up there quite early, but there was the minor All-Ireland hurling final was on beforehand, and Kilkenny were also in that. The Tipperary lads arrived in force then and certainly made their presence known. There was singing, there was chanting, the famous tip, tip, tip chant, which is great for a few minutes and then gets a bit repetitive.
Yeah.
Was rolling down the Jones Road beside Croke Park, the National Stadium. And the neutrals were up for it. I mean, I saw plenty of people from different counties, Clare, Limerick, the reigning All-Ireland champions, Limerick. They had supporters up there as well, knowing that Tipperary and Kilkenny is going to deliver. It's going to be a cracker of a game. So everyone was excited. Both sides thought they were going to win it, and the neutrals knew they were in for a great game.
All right, the game happened. It was an eventful game for the first 20 minutes. Kilkenny certainly had the upper hand. They were ahead by 5 points at one stage. And I remember Marty Morrissey was commentating for RTE, and he was with Michael Deignan, and at one stage Michael said there's only 5 points in the game, but he said in a normal game of hurling that is nothing. Having said that, on a day like this, it's a huge mountain for Tipperary to climb, and the next thing, bang, into the back of the net went the ball for Tipperary, and it changed the whole thing. But then there was a sending off, a Kilkenny man was sent off, and a lot of people are saying that changed it.
Yeah, there's a lot of discussion. Now obviously I'm in the heart of Tipperary, so there's the commentary I'm hearing is, well, look, it was deserved. Basically, it comes down to the rules being read as the rules that sending off, and that seems to be the big talking point of the game. It did come as Tipperary came, and as you mentioned there, it looked like Kilkenny were ramping home. The conditions were getting wetter. When that happens, it's very difficult to close a gap, and the fact that they were pulling out one, the mentality slips then, and you panic and the discipline breaks and everything. So that goal was massively important, and I was standing with Tipperary people that cheers that went up. They could have won the match from that goal alone. But Richie Hogan sending off, it comes down to a basic rule that if your elbow makes contact with your opponent's helmet, it's a red card. There's no intent or not, that's what happens. It's like the handball rule in soccer. It's hard to know if it was intentional. I don't think it was.
I don't think it was intentional, but it did happen.
It did happen. It looked like, you know, he kind of lost his balance. He went to catch himself. And you have to feel for the guy. The training, the dedication that they put in. And again, these guys are amateurs. They're out most days of the week training. They put in so much time for this. And that's how he ends his All-Ireland final. Right. That man is waking up this morning thinking, oh, God, I did it. But I don't think it really made that much of a difference. Kilkenny fell apart.
Now, afterwards, when the captain, Seamus Cadogan, was making his speeches, he spoke about the fabulous support that they have got from right across County Tipperary. This is what he said about the supporters.
I'd like to thank the Tipperary supporters. You came out in force, lads. We needed you, lads, every step of the way. Thanks so much for making the journey up here. And we will celebrate this, lads, for the next few days back in Turriff and Drummond Inch.
And, of course, the Tip fans afterwards, you met some of them, Ben, and they were in mighty form. Take a listen to this.
Tip just won the All-Ireland final! Go on, Tip, boy!
Weren't we expecting it to be that strong?
No, we weren't. We thought it'd be a close enough game, but we're delighted with the win now.
Right. Were you nervous for maybe the first 20 minutes when things weren't going
well? I thought Kilkenny were going to beat them, but they came true.
The first half we were nervous, but the second half they came out, they were brilliant.
Were you surprised with how strong they were against Kilkenny the second half?
No, that's Tip all over, they always do that.
I tell you one thing, it's lovely to be from Tipperary today. We needed this one, and it'll give the whole town a lift in Carrick, because I tell you one thing, we love our hurling.
You're so excited, I'd say. This isn't your first rodeo.
Oh, wherever I'm at, I've seen them, the good days and the bad days. 10 years we came along, we're playing Kilkenny now in six in the last 10 years, and we're level now, 3 each. But I tell you one thing, a win is a win. When you beat Cody, because he's a shrewd man.
That was just a sample of of the people that you spoke to afterwards. It must have been just electric. Everybody must have wanted to talk at that stage.
Oh, sure, the singing, the happiness. And most of the Kilkenny fans had left with about 10 minutes to go.
Now, the cup that was won yesterday is called the Liam McCarthy Cup.
Right.
But the other Liam that's hugely important in all of this is Liam Sheedy, the manager of the Tipperary team. And this is what Seamus Cadogan said about him.
The one and only Mr. Liam Sheedy! Liam has been a bundle of energy, lads, since he came back. And also as a group, lads, we can't thank you enough. The platform he put on for us, lads,
the backroom team he put together, everything was laid on for us. We could not have wanted for more. And thanks so much, Liam, for your dedication, your energy, and everything that you've given to the Tipperary jersey.
So talk to me, Ben, about the magic and the fairy dust that he obviously sprinkled across Tipperary to make this happen.
Well, it's a fantastic story, really. He only came back in September. The former manager, Michael Ryan, stepped down at the end of last season, and Liam Sheedy came back. He had previously had taken Tipperary to an All-Ireland title before and had been quite well-respected. So when he came back, you knew that they had this behind them, but last season hadn't been great for them, so you're going, okay, do the Hurlers have the standard that they need? And also, can a previous manager come back in and repeat the glories he had, or is the pressure that's going to be on him, knowing that he previously could bring them to, you know, glory, how is that going to work, and how long will it take them to settle into new management and all this kind of stuff? So it was a lot of questions to be answered in the National League, which is, I suppose, the predecessor to the Championship. It wasn't a particularly strong showing for Tipperary, so immediately a lot of criticism came out for them. As I said, the provincial decider in the Championship, they lost that. They kind of, it wasn't great. Then they had a quarter-final against a less superior team, and it wasn't the win they deserved or that they could have gotten. So a lot of commentary about him, but if you look at the performance yesterday, right now Liam Sheedy is the man in Tipperary. He couldn't have done any better with the team.
All right. This morning on your programme, Tip Today, which is presented by Fran Curry, I'm sure everybody wanted to talk on air.
They certainly did. It would have been much harder to get people on, I suppose, if we had a different result. But no, we certainly did. Now, we had a lot of our own guys on. We had our sports editor. Very much the opinion that the county has today and this morning is that this is our team. These are our guys, and they won it for us.
What numbers are you expecting tonight at the homecoming? Where is it on, firstly?
The homecoming is on in Semple Stadium. 20 or 30,000 people will be there, and then a short trip up to the Rag for an almighty session tonight.
All right, and that's the reason we're talking to you in advance of it, because you're going to be there reporting on it. It's going to be a very late night. I suppose the final question, Ben, being a Clare man, there's great rivalry between Clare and Tipperary, but you seem to be enthusiastic about the win yesterday.
Well, I get paid by a Tipperary organisation. So
you're like your father.
I'm a turncoat if I'm paid enough. Look, I said I backed Clare when there was a Tipperary and Clare game, and I said, look, for the sake of my employment, I'll back Tip when it needs me. But I know Clare will be back there next year, and this was a trial. My trip to Croke Park yesterday was a trial run for watching the banner win in next year.
All right, well, let's hope let's hope that's the case, and let's hope they're playing Tipperary on the day.
Oh, sure. Now you're talking about difficult situations.
Indeed. All right, Ben Sweeney, my son, thank you very much for talking to us. Ben is a producer with Tip Today on Tip FM. Enjoy the celebrations and stay safe.
I'll try my best.
And there's only one song that we can play out with for all of the Tipperary fans. I know you're going to be singing along to this if you happen to be one of those. Spirit cries. we go. That's called Sliabh na Mun, and it is, or has been, recorded and sung there by the Morrisseys, who are actually from Tipperary as well. That's my lot for this evening. I hope you have enjoyed the programme as much as I've enjoyed putting it together and presenting it to you. I look forward to your company tomorrow morning. If you can join me between 10 o'clock and 12, I'll be sitting in for Giles on Viewpoint. Until then, from me, Ger Sweeney, look after yourselves and each other. See you tomorrow or maybe next Monday for Live on Era. Until then, bye-bye now, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.